Amen. On today, we're going to depart from our series on our journey through Acts, our Acts of the Early Church. And we're going back to the Old Testament to talk about fathers. Amen. Is that all right? I hope that's all right. We're coming from 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, the 22nd chapter. This is David preparing to pass the reins to his son Solomon. And we're going to spend a few minutes today just exploring how he prepared his son to be successful. The question is for the fathers, have you prepared your children? Are you preparing your children for success? Are you giving them the guidance and instructions that they need to carry on after you are gone? It's a simple question that we'll focus on today. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this word, Lord, that you shared, Father. I pray that this moment, Lord, I can share it the way you want me to, Father. And I pray that, Lord, that you be with us, Lord, as we have our Bibles open before us to follow along what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 There's a quote from Mark Twain that just tickles me every time I read it. And it says, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. Amen. Isn't that how it is? Sometimes when we're young, we think our parents don't understand us, don't know us, don't know the ways of the world. You know, we think about them that way, but then when we grow up and even when we become parents ourselves, then we understand the wisdom, the faith, the power that our parents really had. And we begin to appreciate the influence that our parents have or had over our lives. Our parents give us many instructions. They let us know what to do until we get to the point where we can do it on our own. They teach us how to dress. They tell us what time to be home. Not only do they instruct us, but they often take the time to show us how things are done. Fathers, I saw a funny quote yesterday on social media, and it said, "Fathers, enjoy your one day of the year, because the 364 other days belong to the mothers. So fathers, let's enjoy our day." Now, fathers, it's so interesting that when you become a father, there's really no instruction manual other than the instructions you have received from somebody else. And it almost seems like it's trial and error sometimes when we are raising our children. Now, when I mention fathers, I'm not talking about just biological fathers, because, you know, anybody with the capability could become a biological father. But as Sister Morrison said earlier, who can become a daddy? Who become a daddy? And it's not always that person who was biologically your father, but it can be anyone who plays a significant role in raising you. It might be an uncle, it might be a stepfather, it might be a grandfather, or it might just be a close friend of the family that is well respected. To me, that is a father. Now, we're going to look at 1 Chronicles chapter 22 today. Now, when we look at the book of Chronicles, this book begins with a mini genealogy of the children of Israel, and it carries on through many of the kings and activities and a brief summary of Israel, but the bulk of it revolves around King David when he became king. And in this passage today, we're going to focus on three verses. So let me read them now. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 11, we're starting. It says, "Now, my son, may the Lord be with you and may you prosper and build the house of the Lord your God, as he has said to you. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be dismayed." What a touching words and encouragement from a father who knew that his son was being prepared for a mighty task. And as we look at this, we're going to see that King David sought ways to prepare his son to be king. He prepared his son to build the temple that he could not build. He prepared his son not only with guidance and advice, but with materials. The question is, how many of us as fathers have prepared our children to be successful in what God wants them to do? How many of us have given them the encouragement to go forth and prosper, but remember it's the Lord that's carrying you through? How many of us have taken time to share with them all the things that are in our heart concerning them? As we look at this, we'll see that instructions are needed for our children. And there's three points, three verses, three points I want to lift up today. The kinds of instructions that we need to give to our children. Number one, we need to let them know that the Lord is present. That the Lord is present. Secondly, we need to let them know that the Lord has a plan. That the Lord does have a plan for their lives. And thirdly, we need to let them know that the Lord provides. The Lord provides. The topic today is a father's instructions. A father's instructions. Now, here's what's happened. Let me bring you up to date of what is going on. David is king. David desires to build a glorious temple for the Lord, a temple in Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, he laments that, "Why should I live in a nice house full of splendor when the Lord does not have a house equally as splendorous?" I'm kind of paraphrasing, but that was on David's heart. But you know what? The Lord prevented David from building that temple because he was a man of war. And somehow that did not coexist with the peace that comes through the temple, the building of the temple. But God had a plan. And the plan was that David's son, Solomon, would build the temple. And just because David was not going to be able to build the temple does not mean that he did not play a part in building the temple. He just didn't get it done, but his son did. And I want to go back to verse 5 of this chapter 22 of 1 Chronicles. Verse 5, where it says, "Now David said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all countries. I will now make preparations for it." So David made abundant preparations before his death, and he called his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And then he goes on to tell him that, "I can't do it, you know, Solomon, I can't do it because I've shed blood, I'm a man of war, but you will do it." And then we get down to this 11th verse, where he gives him this impactful guidance about what God's plan was for Solomon's life. And at 11th verse, he says, "Now, my son, may the Lord be with you." That's the first point. The first point, he wanted to let his son know that the Lord is present, that the Lord is present, the presence of the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing to let our children know that the Lord is present in your life? We look throughout the Bible and we will see the appreciation of the presence of the Lord. I go back to Psalm 23rd Psalm, the very first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." David knew that the Lord was present in his life, and he was impressing upon his son Solomon that the Lord is present in your life. And I go on to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, when Jesus met with his disciples and told them, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth." Jesus let us know that. God let us know that. That we have the presence. We have his presence in our lives. Even Jesus, before he left his disciples, even told him in John 14, 18, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." So that's one thing as fathers. And when I'm speaking about fathers, I realize that there are single parents who have done double duties. They have been both the mother and the father. And this is applicable to you also. We need to let our children know that the Lord is real in our lives. And as a child, we really did not understand that or grasp that concept. We just knew that our parents called on the Lord. We knew our parents devoted time to the Lord. But it wasn't until we became of age ourselves that we began to appreciate the Lord. You know, I, like many of us, we might have been drugged to church sometimes and not gone voluntarily, but they made sure that we were in the place. My father even had a rule. Even when I was in college, you can't go out on Saturday night if you can't go to church on Sunday morning. I didn't agree with it then, as I'm sure that my children did not agree with it at times. But now we understand the power of the presence of the Lord in our lives. We understand the power of the presence of the Lord in our lives. So again, the 11th verse of 1 Chronicles 22, "Now, my son, may the Lord be with you." And let's look at the second part of that verse, "And may you prosper and build the house of the Lord your God as he has said to you." Now, let's look at the order that David put this in. He put the Lord first in this verse. He said, "May the Lord be with you." May the Lord, as if the Lord being with Solomon is a prerequisite for his success. "And may you prosper." Let's not get it backwards, my brothers and sisters. It's not prosper first and then find the Lord, but "may the Lord be with you, and may you prosper and build the house of the Lord as he has said to you." That's the second thing. We need to let them know that the Lord is present, but we need to let them know that the Lord has a plan. The Lord has a plan for our lives. And quite often it takes us a while to discover what that plan is. As fathers, our job is to teach our children that God has that plan for them. Now, let us understand at this time that God has two wills. He has his perfect will, what he intends for us, but he has his permissive will of what he will allow us to do. And quite often, a lot of us have messed around before we got on to the purpose of God's plan for our lives. I'm reminded of Psalm 37, verse 25, where it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. Yes, it is not always good. And our children will see us during our bad times. We need to let them know that even though they see us at our worst, that the Lord is still there for us. We need to let them know that even though it might not seem like everything is going right now, it might be more a month than we have finances, but we need to let them know that the Lord still has a plan for our lives. We need to let them know that. And I will continue on with Psalm 37, verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. We need to let our children know that we will fall down, but we will get up because we're in good hands. Amen. We're in the hands of the Lord. And the writer of the Psalm 37 goes on to say, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed or descendants begging bread. You know what? When I was young, I really did not understand that because I did not have the life experience to observe the glorious wonder of the Lord. But now I think I qualify that not only I can say that this is something I read about, I cannot only say that this is something that somebody told me, somebody reinforced in my spirit, but I can say that I have seen it for myself. I have seen the ups and downs of life. I have seen the times of doubt. I have seen the times of when you even thinking, am I even qualified to do this job? Am I qualified to be the father that my children deserve to be? I have seen those times, but the Lord has brought us through. The Lord has a plan for our lives. And we need to let our children know that the Lord does have a plan for our life. And we might go in his permissive will, or we might go in his perfect will, but the Lord does have a plan for our lives. Many of us remember or know by heart Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Fathers, we need to be the one giving that child that hope. We need to be their cheerleader behind the scenes when we're in front of them or when they're asleep at night. We need to be calling on the name of the Lord on their behalf. It is our job to do everything we can to make sure that they understand that God is present in their life and God has a plan for them. And we need to do everything we can to provide the provisions to get them off on the right start in life. Let's look at verse 12. I could stay on verse 11 for a while, but we're going back to 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 12. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. That next point is the Lord provides. Not only is the Lord present, not only does the Lord plan, but the Lord will provide. Verse 12, only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding. Wait a minute, let's back up on that. Let's roll back the videotape. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding. It doesn't say only may the Lord give you riches. Only may the Lord fill your bank account. Only may the Lord do this or do that. But it said, only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding David told him that it is the Lord that gives wisdom and understanding. And David was so impactful in Solomon's life that Solomon listened. Because in 1 Kings 2, he asked the Lord for wisdom and understanding so he could discern what the people needed. The wise man is the one who chooses to give God his proper place in his life. Understanding is more than just knowing facts, but it's grasping the true meaning of it. Proverbs 8. If you don't want to know about wisdom, read Proverbs. Proverbs 8, verse 11 says, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." And this is even a comparison, that wisdom is better than all the riches in the world. Because if you have wisdom, if you have understanding, you will be able to do what God has planned for you. It's not all about the Benjamins. It's not all about the riches. It's not all about the accolades. But how can you do the best job at what God has given you on behalf of his people? Only, again, verse 12, 1 Chronicles 22, only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. What he's telling Solomon is that it's tough out there. It's rough out there. You're going to need the Lord's on your side. You're going to need the wisdom that comes from the Lord. You're going to need the understanding that comes from the Lord, so that you can be the ruler that God wants you to be. And I think it worked out pretty good for Solomon, because we now know him as the wisest man in the Bible. We now know him as one of the richest men in the Bible. We now know him as one who was well liked by the people of Israel, because he was able to rule fairly. And he always put the people first, according to the Lord's will. That's who Solomon was. And he got this advice from his father, David, who was king himself. Proverbs verses 4, verse 7. One of my favorite one, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get what? Get understanding. 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 Let's look at verse 13. Then will you prosper. Then you will prosper. Okay. All right. Let's back up for a second. Okay, what are the prerequisites for the prosperity from the Lord's perspective? It's having wisdom, it's having understanding, it's having the Lord's presence in your life, it's following the Lord's plan for your life, it's acknowledging that the Lord has the provisions for your life. Then you will prosper. Now, you know, sometimes when we see this word prosper, we think in monetary, we think money and stuff. We think how much is in our bank account. But when we look at God's perspective of prosperity, it's more than that. You know, it's our emotional health. It's our physical health. It's our mental health. It's a lot of things that goes into prosperity. How happy are we? You know, some of the most happiest people I know are those who have modest means. Some of the most happiest people I know are the ones who don't really know what next month is going to bring, but they know that the Lord is there for them and the Lord provides. And if the Lord can provide the lilies in the field, the splendor of the grass, and the birds of the air, how much more so can he provide for us? Some of the most miserable people I've seen are those who have big bank accounts, All you got to do is look at all the folks who have millions of dollars, billions of dollars, who are getting divorced, who are unhappy, even ones who are committing suicide, because they grew up the value system that money brought you love, that money brought you happiness, that money brings you things. But we grew up to realize, just like the man who had the barns, all you want to do is build bigger barns, if that is your focus in life. If you want money, then you will continually want more money. One of the richest men in the world, and his name escapes me right now, but years ago he was asked, how much money is enough? And he said, just a little bit more. This is a man who back in the day, you know, was equivalent to a billionaire, but he was not satisfied with what he had. So therefore, if our focus is on prosperity, the way the world thinks of prosperity, we will never really be happy. But what David is teaching his son Solomon is to don't focus on that. Focus on the important things and the rest will come. Focus on the important things and the rest will come if it's God's will. Again, 1 Chronicles 22, verse 13, then you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed. David knew that Solomon would have times where he might feel weak. He might not feel courageous, but he knew that in the end he would be successful. He was encouraging them, do not fear, do not be dismayed, because there will be a lot of things that will come in your life that will make you want to stumble. But you know, sometimes those things that make us want to stumble, we need to turn it around and use it as a stepping stone to get on with our business, the business that God has prepared us for. I compare this advice to the advice that Moses gave Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. And let us go there to the 8th verse of Joshua chapter 1, where Moses is given this parting advice to Joshua. He says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded you, Moses said, be strong and of good courage, but be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever you go. Again, this is something similar. Moses's guidance to Joshua in his final years. Strength and courage to overcome the fear and dismay that comes into our life. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yes, I will have tough times. Yes, it will not always be easy, but you are with me, O Lord, even in the midst of those difficult times. And I'm reminded of what Paul told his protege Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where he said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, of a sound mind. Guidance from David to his son Solomon. But I will not leave you right here. I will clue you in to the rest of the story. Let's look at the 14th verse. David says, indeed, I have taken much trouble to prepare for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1 million talents of silver and bronze and iron beyond measure, for it is so abundant. I have prepared timber and stone also, and you may add to them. Not only is the Father talking to him and encouraging him and preparing him, but the Father is preparing the resources for Solomon to be successful. And when you look at this, it's so easy to read these words about these thousands of talents. So we asked ourselves, what does that really mean? Well, I'm so glad you want to know, because I looked it up. I looked it up, and let me share it with you. The king had accumulated 100,000 talents of gold. That is equivalent to 3,750 tons of gold. Think about it. I didn't say 3,750 pounds of gold. I said 3,750 tons of gold. And also those 1 million talents of silver, guess what that was? That was the equivalent of 37,500 tons of silver. So as you see, as you do mental calculation, you can see that David gave his son the resources to build a beautiful temple for the Lord, the one that David had envisioned that was needed to honor and respect, a place where they could come worship and praise and pray to the Lord, to hear the Lord, preparations for the house of the Lord. And not only did he provide materials, but also he talked to the workmen. He got the resources available. There was no shortage of contractors at that time, like they are today at times. There was something, we go back onto the 15th verse of 1 Chronicles 22, where it says, moreover, there are workmen with you in abundance, woodsmen and stonecutters and all types of skillful men for every kind of work. So in the preparation for the temple, David took time to prepare his son for the task at hand. And we all know the rest of the story. We know that David died and Solomon became king. And Solomon prayed for wisdom and understanding so he could rule the people. And then they built the temple. But in preparation for going into the temple, the spirit was so high that the ministers could not even preach. And Beacon Light, I want to know that when we get back into our building, what kind of spirit are we going to have? My prayer is that the spirit will be so high because we waited so long to get back that we're going to be just besides ourselves. I know of a preacher in Virginia. Their first service in their building was a couple of weeks ago. And he became so overcome that he passed out and had to be taken to the hospital. He was okay. He just had to stay overnight for observations. When I read that, I understood. Some might say, how could that happen? But I understand. When you've been away from some place you love and the people you love for so long, you can be overcome with emotions when you get a chance to be in the presence with them and the Lord is present with you. So therefore, just a message about David, a message about David, a man after God's own heart, one who was well-versed in the Lord, but one who did not keep that to himself. He prepared his son to be king. Likewise, fathers, we have to prepare our children to be kings and queens and let them know that the Lord is present. Let them know that the Lord has a plan, and let them know that the Lord has all the provisions that they need. God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you. A Father's Day tribute, a father's instructions from David to his son, Solomon.